we shall, you know, let you welcome Brother John Warwick.
I thought he was going to say there's plenty of good coffee shops around. And by the way, Bindoon's got a bakery that's noted, you know, that very good bakery for cakes and if you're a cake eater. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul speaking, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. What I want to do this session, and I didn't plan this at all, I just thought about it just as the first session finished. I want to give you my testimony. I don't share my testimony very often, not these days anyway. I reckon I've got a pretty good testimony. I want to share with you a little bit about myself so that you get to know who I am, what sort of a guy I am. I come, as you've heard, as you tell, from the UK. I was born in Nottingham. Robin Hood. He was a good friend of mine. And I come from an incredible dysfunctional family. I have five sisters and three brothers. My mother married my father. She was 20. He was about 38. But he'd gone through the First World War. And he'd got damaged in the First World War. We didn't realize this until way after his death when we found a diary that he kept when he was in Gallipoli. And we realized he'd been gassed and he had shrapnel. He'd been lots of things that happened to him. So when he came out, as in those days, they didn't have any kind of counseling. Guys just took to the drink. They didn't talk. Well, my dad was not a talker. He became a drunkard, and the only time he would talk is when he was drunk, and then it was a load of rubbish what he got to say. By the time I came along, I'm next to the youngest. By the time I come along, the marriage was shocked completely, and he wasn't talking to my mother, and she wasn't talking to him. I mean that literally. If he wanted something, he'd scribble something on a bit of paper and leave it round for her to see. He wouldn't talk to her. So that's the sort of bit of a background I come from. He was quite a cruel man, or become a cruel man. And I remember him saying to me when I was only 7 years, I have dyslexia, you know, but nobody understood back then. I was born in 1941, and then, you know, children didn't get treated in schools like they are today. So people thought that I was just lazy and backward with my learning. And I remember a school teacher, once said to me, I was 10 years old, and I didn't know my vowels, A-E-I-O-U. He got me out in front of the class, and he said to the class, this guy does not know his vowels. How ridiculous is that? So he made me say, while all the class laughed at me, A-E-I-O-U, over and over again. You can imagine as a 10-year-old what that did for me. When I was 12, a teacher, because I was a pretty bad lad because of the way people treated me, a teacher said to me, Warwick, you do not have an inferiority complex. You're just inferior. A school teacher told me that. I mean, you can imagine it. And my father, the only time he'd speak when he was drunk, said to me, you'll end up being hung. You're no good. You're just rubbish. So to give you a bit of a background of where I came from, I've got this learning disability. When I left school, I could hardly read. Just the odd word I could read, couldn't write. So I went through a pretty difficult stage. And I joined a gang, and I became a gang leader. And there was a big gang of us I used to lead. And when I was 15, I'd left school, just started work. On a Sunday night, we walked down past this little church. We saw some girls. So we stopped to chat them up. So we stayed outside. We tried to chat these girls up. And the youth leader came out with a couple of guys and started to witness to us. And the last thing we wanted. And tell us if we want to convict. Well, I was a spokesman, so I was a big mouth. And I said, you know, it's a whole lot of rubbish, this Christianity. A whole lot of hypocrites. Is that what you are in there? Not that I knew anything. I didn't. And so he challenged us. He says, why don't you come to our youth meeting on Wednesday night? So I said to my mates, okay, let's go. And we'll make it so they wish they'd never asked us. So on the Wednesday night, we turned up to this little church. And in this church, there was about maybe a dozen young people, Christians. And I brought with me 30 guys, about 30 of us. We sat at the back, we lit up our cigarettes, we smoked, we swore, we cursed, we blasphemed. We just ruined their meeting. Didn't know what anything was happening, just didn't know. And we just ruined it. After the meeting had finished, the youth leader came up to me, he got hold of my hand, give me your hand. And he says, he looked me in the eye, he says, God bless you, come again. And I thought, what? Why on earth would you want me to come again? I've just ruined your meeting. You know, we made havoc. I couldn't understand that. So I got angry with it. I thought, okay, that wasn't, all right, all right. We'll be there on Sunday. So I said to the guys, Sunday, let's turn up, let's really wreck the place. And I turned up on Sunday a little bit late with another mate of mine. So two of us came a little bit late. The meeting had started. Now, all my other mates didn't come. Unbeknownst to me, they went to the cinema. So I didn't know. I thought they were all inside, you see, and we're going to go in and sit on the back row. And so the deacons opened the door, and as we walked through, I think the place was full, and there was no back seats. So he pushed me right down. The only empty seats were the front seat. So I'm sitting on the front seat, I'm looking around, can't see any of my mates anywhere. And I thought, this is great, isn't it? This is. And the people were singing and praising God, lifting their hands, having a great time. Now, I didn't understand anything. The preaching didn't understand what they were talking about. But what made an impression on me was, why are these people happy in church? That really got to me. Because I said to this youth leader, the only people that go to church, this is what I thought, are kids that go to Sunday school and old people just before they die. That's how, because in between, you enjoy your life. You know, that's how I thought about it. I literally thought about it like that. That's how I thought. So, but I was intrigued. So the youth leader spoke to me afterwards again. Really nice guy. I said, okay, I'll come back on Wednesday. Well, on the Wednesday, all my mates turned up again. Only this time, I wanted to listen to what was going off, you see. So I'm sitting at the back, and I can't hear because my mates are making that much noise. So I left them. I come down about three rows in to listen. Again, I was turning around telling my mates, shut up. Don't keep them quiet. I just wanted to know what was making these Christians tick. It didn't seem... And by this time, I was feeling miserable. Now, because you've got to understand, I'm coming from the outside. I don't know any church jargon. Do you understand? If somebody said the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I haven't got a clue what they're talking about. I'm just feeling bad and don't know why. Obviously, it was a conviction of the Holy Spirit. He was working on me. I didn't know that. And so I'm sitting there trying to weigh up. One of these people didn't understand the sermon at all. But again, these people were singing and joyful. I'm thinking, wow. I don't understand this at all. So, after the meeting had finished, the youth leader took me into the foyer and he started to witness to me. He says, John, if you was to die tonight, where would you go? And I said, well, no, I won't go to heaven. I knew that much because I'd been a pretty bad lad, you know. I used to get into all sorts of trouble. The police were always at our house. So I won't go to heaven, I knew that. And he says, well, you know, you can. If you believe in Jesus. So he started to witness to me, very simply. And in the foyer, there was a big poster. And on the poster was a man's hand and a wrist, and there was a watch on it. And underneath, there was this scripture that says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And he said, look at that. I said, yeah. He says, well, that's telling you that now you ought to get saved. He said, because John, I've got no guarantee for tomorrow for you. You're here right now, you could become a Christian, but if you go home, you could get hit by a truck, you could lose the opportunity. And I said, well, yeah, I suppose I could. Now, bear in mind, I'm under conviction. Don't know what it was. I'm just feeling rotten. The Holy Spirit's probably telling me I'm a sinner, you know? But again, the word sinner isn't used out there. We know what the word sinner means. They don't, you know. I was a criminal. I was, and we didn't even, you know, we use the word today, dysfunctional. I didn't know the word dysfunctional. I just came from a lousy family, a rotten family. But we call it today dysfunctional. Sounds a lot better, doesn't it? But it was just a bad family. So he says to me, I challenge you to become a Christian. This other guy was with me that had come on a Sunday night. So I said, you challenge me. I said, all right, I will. So come back inside. So we walk right in down to the front of the church. He says, kneel down there, you two, both of you. He put his hands on me. He says, now say this prayer after me. All my mates were at the back looking in through the window, seeing what was happening. And they thought I was doing it for a joke, because they knew what I was like. He prayed a simple prayer, asking Jesus to come in. He said, forgive me. I want to tell you, when I prayed that prayer after him, I felt like a weight lifted. I can't describe it, but when I read the Pilgrim's Progress, and I saw what happened to Christian, how the burden rolled away, I thought that's how I felt. It was like, it was one of, I just felt clean. I just, obviously, God was forgiving me. The blood of Jesus was cleansing me. But I didn't know the Christian vernacular. You understand that? We don't know. We forget that people out there don't know how the way we talk about most of the time. They haven't got a clue. You know, words we use, justification, sanctification. I ain't got a clue what you're talking about. So I just know I feel so good. And I went outside, and my mates laughed. They go, what happened, John? What happened? I said, I don't know. I said, but I've become a Christian. Well, they roared with like, come on. And I said, no, I'm serious, God. I'm serious. I've become a Christian. I don't know what it means exactly, but I'm a Christian. I feel so good. I just knew I knew I'd made my peace with God. But I can't put it like I'm putting it to you now because I didn't know all the words. But I just felt good. I knew I'd got peace with God. I says, I'm going to keep coming here. And you know what they said to me? One of the guys said, Dumb is stupid. You belong to us. You're our gang leader. I said, oh, no, no more. No more. No more stealing. No more wrecking property. No more. I've finished. I'm going to come to church. And they said to me, we give you 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and you'll be back with us. Well, that was 58 years ago. Been a long 2 weeks, ain't it? Praise God. I went home that night, I walked in the house, I said, Mum, guess where I've been tonight? She says, where? Because my mum would always encourage me to steal. You know, we were brought up, dragged up. You know, if I stole anything from Woolworths or whatever, I'd worry, I'd say, what I've got, mum? She'd say, did anybody see you? That was the only question she'd ask. Did anybody see you? I said, no, it's all right, nobody's seen me. That's okay then. So, my mum was very poor. My dad was, you know, he drunk the money away. You know, she'd got all these kids. It was hard for her when I look back now. But so I went on, I said, look, it's what's happened to me there. I've been to that little church, Glad Tidings Hall it's called, on Strelly Road. So you what? I said, I've been there, and what's more, I've become a Christian. Well, I would have expected Mum to say, great, baptise or sense. She says, you what? I said, I've become a Christian. She says, don't you stop bringing religion into this house. And she just went for me, big time. So that wasn't a good response, was it? So the next day, I went to work. And I worked with 200 guys. I was only 15, worked with 200 men. I knew enough to know that they needed to be saved. God had already given me that evangelistic calling, but I just didn't know how to say it. All I could say was, I told them, guys, I want you to know, I've become a Christian. And you better become a Christian or you're going to go to hell. That's all I knew. I didn't know any more. Well, you can imagine. And one guy said, oh, he's seen the light. Meaning in a derogatory term. I said, huh? I said, yeah, I have. I've seen the light. I've seen the light. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. So I didn't know much at all. One of my elder brothers, he was 9 years older than me. His name was Bill. He was one of my brothers. I really wanted to emulate it. I liked him so much. And when he found out I was a Christian, he says, give it away, John. I liked you better as you was before. I said, I can't give it away, but I'm going to follow Jesus. And we had some discussions. And then after a while, he said to me, either you give this religion away because you're going to split this family, bringing your religious rubbish here, either you give it away, or I'm going to refuse to talk to you. I will never talk to you again. And he cut me off. My brother never spoke to me for the rest of his life. He died a miserable old man in Mexico. We would have no communication. When I came to Australia, I would go back to England to visit them. He would not talk, would have no communication with me at all. He cut me off. He became a communist, an atheist, purely because I'd become a Christian. So that was hard. Now, when I got saved, I don't know how, but somehow I knew I'd got to get a Bible, you know, because I didn't have a Bible. I couldn't read hardly. But I bought myself a Bible, big one, bigger than this, with those finger things in that tells you where the books of the Bible are. Do you know the ones? I bought one of them. And I read so pathetically, incredibly slow, just easy words. If I was reading, "For God so loved the..." That's how I read it. It was pathetic. I was 15. Couldn't read or write. I couldn't spell. But I knew I got to read the Bible. So I taught myself to read from reading the Bible. Back in those days, it was the King James Version. The these and the thous and the misadventures, you know. So I actually taught myself. I would read the Bible at every opportunity I had. Smoke hotel at work. I'd go and sit on the stairs, read my Bible, get away from the guys. Lunchtime, don't read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. This is true, what I'm going to tell you now. It's not a lie, this is the truth. I read that Bible for 18 months and didn't understand anything that I was reading because my comprehension level was so low. But I read, and I read, and I read. I taught myself to read. I learned chapters off by heart because I've read them so much and still did not know what they meant. I loved to go to church. I loved to hear the preacher. I had many questions to ask my youth leader. My youth leader was putting into me, spent a lot of time with me. So I learned, but I read the Bible. I found it the most boring book that there was. It was just, to me, it was a bore. I'm being honest with you. Because of the way that my brain was. I found it boring. But I knew I had to read it, and 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 read it. And I did. I read. And about 18 months after I got saved, something happened. It was like, I don't know, like something lifted. And suddenly my comprehension level just expanded. And I started to understand it in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now I look back, do you know what I believe was happening? See, I believe that the Bible, listen to this, is faith food. And it's with the heart that man believes, tells us in Romans, not just with the mind, with the heart. I believe that when you read the Bible, you are feeding your spirit. I believe way before that happened up there in my brain, as I read it, because the Spirit of God is within me, and I felt I was incredibly dumb, uneducated. And I read it. I think it was feeding my spirit. Did you understand that? And 18 months later, I got a healing. Bang. And because I'd read the Bible so much, I got such a panoramic view of it now. It was absolutely incredible. That was a miracle that happened to me. I thought, this is wonderful what God is doing. Absolutely wonderful. So that was my early days. And I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was interesting as well. I may tell you about that another time. It took me about 2 years before I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because a few things still hung on. I smoked, and I started smoking when I was 7. So by the age of 12, I was completely addicted to it. By the age of 15, I couldn't go a day without cigarettes. When I got saved, the Sunday night I got saved, 2 weeks later, no, not 2 weeks, a week, within a week, before the next Sunday came, I'd gone to work, and I hadn't got any cigarettes. And one of the guys I worked with was off sick. So I went into his locker, sneaked into his locker, and I pinched his packet of cigarettes. I went round the back of the factory, I sat down, lit this cigarette up. all of a sudden I felt so bad. I started crying. I thought I'd just stolen these. I'd pinched something. That would never... To steal was just second nature. Do you understand? No, nobody pointed this out. I smoked this cigarette and I started crying. I thought I was supposed to be a Christian. I can't be. Because if I was a Christian, I wouldn't be stealing. So I went to church on the Sunday. The pastor gave the appeal. I was first out the front to get saved. And he said, what are you here for? I said, I want to get saved. He says, you got saved last week. I said, no, I didn't. I want to get saved this week. Do you know what? I went out the front every week for about 3 months. Because there was something, again, I think I was doing. Because I thought, this is how I thought. When you become a Christian, you become perfect. And how I thought, you know, I thought Christians were perfect people. I really thought the church I was in was a perfect church until I went in their first AGM meeting. Then I realized they weren't perfect. I got a shock, I'll tell you. As a 15-year-old listening to these Christians falling out over what color to paint the walls, I'm thinking, dear Lord, what is happening here? Then I realized, but as a young Christian, I really thought, that's what I said to God. I said, God, please take me now. Because I think it's going to be a lot easier being a Christian in heaven once it's here. So hard. But I still smoked. It convicted me of stealing. The stealing stopped there and then. But I still smoked. And it was a couple of years before I was able to give the smoking away. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, by the way, while I was smoking. I went to this. I was so... Every guy preacher that came through, I got him to pray for me before it was spirit. Nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. And then I saw this seminar in the town on how to be filled with the Spirit. I thought, oh. So I said to the guys in the church, the young people, let's go. So off we went to this seminar. And the guy got a blackboard. It was in the days before we got all the technology. There was a blackboard and chalk. Not even the whiteboard, you know. But, and he said, now I want to tell you, if you really want to be filled with the Spirit, you can't be doing these things. So he starts a list of things that you should not be doing if you want to get filled with the Spirit. Big list. Then he started in with another list. What you should be. The first thing he wrote down is you shouldn't smoke. The first thing he wrote, I thought, that's finished me, hasn't it? And then when he went with these other things, I thought, boy, I went out of that meeting absolutely depressed. I went out thinking, dear God, I ain't ever going to get filled with the Spirit. This is it. I thought, Lord, I need to be filled with the Spirit to stop doing those things. Do you understand? You got it the wrong way around. I worked that out. And then one night, I was in bed. My brother, who refused to speak to me, such in the same bedroom as me. And remember, he's 9 years older than I am. He was a policeman. And I'm sleeping in bed. And it was a cold night in England. So I didn't pray. I got in bed to pray. So I really want to be filled with the Spirit. Lord. Remember, I'm only a young guy. I was 17 years of age. I really want to be filled with the Spirit. Lord. I'm really filled with the Spirit. I can't understand why I've not been filled with the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I saw it. The Holy Spirit's a gift. You don't earn Him. You don't work for Him. It's not something you deserve. It's a gift. I said, Lord, I received the gift. Speaking in tongues. My brother woke up and said, what's up with you? Have you gone mad? He didn't know what was happening. Oh. I switched it off. I went to work next day and during lunch break, I went outside and found there's a park. And I sat in the middle of this park, nobody around. I said, Lord, I really want to apologize about last night, but you know what my brother's like. I hope I didn't offend you, but will you do it again right now? And he did. Pour his Spirit out on me. Speaking tongues, isn't it good? God's so good. Because we tend to think I'm not filled with the Spirit because I'm not good enough. I'm not filled with the Spirit because I don't deserve it. Oh, I've got to earn it. Got nothing to do with that. He's a gift of God. Hallelujah. And you know, I thought to myself, you know, it's wonderful to be saved. The first job I did, first job, the youth leader says, because we used to have Sunday school in those days, and the kids would come in and they'd get a little star on a card for their attendance. And if they got 50 stars, they'd get a prize at the end of the evening. So my job was stamping their star cards. The little kids said, okay, I thought that was a wonderful job. I took it very seriously, that God could trust me to stamp these star cards for these kids. That's how I started. When I got the Bible, I'll tell you, I started to preach. I started to read. I used to go out preaching. Put my Bible on my arm. And I used to go looking for gangs. Gangs that I knew. Gangs that we used to fight with. And I used to go out there and preach to them. I cut my preaching teeth on the street. Not in the church. On the street. How many times I got a black eye and a blood nose? They were telling them they're going to go to hell, don't become Christians. But that's where I learned to preach, on the streets. So that's a little bit of my background. And I never thought, you know, that I'd ever come into ministry. That was far, you know, I'm done. How could I ever get into the ministry? And how many of you have heard of David Wilkinson? You remember David? Well, when I was 18 years of age, living in Nottingham still, I went to a youth rally. Dave Wilkinson had just come to Australia, to England for the first time. And he came to preach to England, and he came to Nottingham, and there was this rally that he was preaching at. David Wilkinson was about 28 years of age at that time. And he preached a wonderful sermon. It must have been about a couple of hundred young people went out to the front to get prayed for. And he comes down, and he prays for me. He doesn't know me from a bar, so just puts his hands on my head, prays a quick prayer and goes. God called me, said to me, I'm calling you to full-time ministry. Very clearly, I felt it in my spirit. Whoa, me, full-time ministry. Now, that didn't happen for another 20 years. I was 38 before I became full-time in the ministry. The wonderful thing is, just a few years ago, we invited David Wilkinson to Perth to do a series of meetings for us. And he came to Perth, and I'd invited him on behalf of some of the churches, and he came, wonderful ministry. And after one of the meetings, I was having a coffee with him. I said, you won't know me from a bar of soap, David, about talking about this story that when he was only 28, because he's an old, old man anyway, when he was 28, you laid hands on me, you prayed for me, and God called me into the ministry that night. And so we had a lovely time of just going over the old times, what God had done. You know, I've never been to Bible college. I've never done a correspondence course because I still have dyslexia. I still can't study the same way that other people study. I've tried, but it just doesn't work that way. I have difficulty writing sermons. I'm an inspirational preacher. That's the way that God... I do make a few notes now and again, but I can't write a sermon. My son, who's a pastor, my daughter, who's a pastor, they write. They've been through university. And they write their sermons out word for word. And when I'm teaching people, I say, you need to do that. Don't get up and do what I do. You know what you're going to say, because it's important that you do. But that's the way God has used me and dealt with me. And I've never been to Bible college, but guess what? I started a Bible college. Harvest Bible College is what I started. God put it in my heart to found that college. And I've never been to one. I'm not allowed to preach in it. I can't speak in it because I don't have a degree. It's truth. Before they went into the degree angle, you know, I could speak. I have spoken it then. But when it became a college that went for degrees and the graduation, I can't. Because I haven't got it. There you go. But nevertheless, God has used me in a wonderful, wonderful way. Do you ever get to a place where sometimes you get angry with yourself at your Christian walk? That you feel, you know, I should be further along than this. Do you ever feel like that? You know, I find at times it's far easier for me to forgive other people than for myself. I find it very hard at times to forgive myself. Some years ago, I was feeling so bad. I forget what I'd done. I'd done something, some mishap. I'd done something wrong. And I looked in the mirror. I said, God, I just don't like who I am. I don't like who I am. When I was first starting to preach, because I didn't like who I was as a young man, Billy Graham was powerfully preaching back then, and I thought, I want to be like him. So I tried a copy of Billy Graham. Well, you can see I've been here for all these years. I even haven't got the Aussie accent. You can imagine what it was like trying to preach with an American accent, me. It just was a total waste of time. Try to emulate others. You look at, when you don't like yourself, you tend to look at other people to be like them. So this particular day, I was saying to God, God, I just don't like me at all. And the Lord really started to speak at me, and he chastised me. He says, if you go outside and you look at the trees, of all the trees that are in the world, there is no identical tree. Every single tree is different. He says, every snowflake is different. Every thumbprint is different. And the Lord said to me, John, you didn't come off a conveyor belt. I made you as an individual, only one. there's never been a John Warwick before you, and there will never, ever be a John Warwick again. So if you blow it, you've blown it for eternity. Oh. That's what I think about what God said in my spirit. I thought, there's only one of me. There's only one John Warwick. And it's true, I've looked for another one. There's only me. I am an absolutely special, unique individual that God's never made before and is not going to duplicate again. Can I say this? You're exactly the same. You're exactly the same. You're one off. And as I was just waiting on, I just feel that there's people here that are in a mode where you don't like yourself. Maybe you're not talented, or maybe you are, but you still don't like yourself. You know, you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. You think, I don't like being who I am. Maybe it's to do with your background, I don't know, or the culture in which we live. I don't know what it is, but I know I looked at myself and I wished that I was somebody else, and God really told me off, chastised me. He says, you're not a Billy Graham. You're not this guy, you're not that guy. You are the guy that I've called, I've created, and the talents you've got are what I've given. Because, you know, I'm a pretty self-taught person, so I get, when these teachers at school put me down, for many years I felt incredibly inferior to school teachers. Incredibly inferior. If I meet a school teacher, I used to feel, whoa, because I know I'm just not an educated person. My leaving exams were shocking. I had a scripture teacher, and he was a nice fellow. I love the stories he told in class, and I remember, just before I left, maybe 2 weeks before I left, we were doing some essays, and I couldn't write on it. And he walks down the aisle, and he looks over at my desk, he looks at my desk, he looks what I'm trying to do, and he looks at me, and he went, and just walked off. I felt so bad. I thought, what a dum-dum I am, you know. So then I got saved, but still the devil says, you're no good. You're useless. You're no good. You'll never make anything. You're not any good at all. And then when God really nailed me that day and says, stop looking at yourself the way the devil wants you to look at you. You're unique. You're different. You'll never be musical like this guy. Which he was. I look at talents around me and I do think, oh, I like to do what she's doing. I like to do what he's doing. But I haven't got those talents. I don't have those giftings. But it doesn't matter. Because I know now I'm a one and only. I once said that into our church. I said, you know, there's only one of me. There'll never be another of me. People clapped. I thought, what are they clapping for? Maybe today you feel a bit like that. Maybe you come to this camp and you don't like who you are. You don't like what you are. And if you could, you change it. You change it if you could. But you know you can't. Let me just say, God's speaking to you today. And he's telling you, stop it. Stop looking at yourself and putting yourself down. You're not inferior to anybody. You're not. When I look at my background and I think, where I was and what God has done for me. I've traveled the world preaching. When I was in Armidale, I had one of the managing directors from Alcoa join our church. Listen to this. Managing director. We had a special service on one Saturday and the car park was getting full. And I said to him, the car park's getting full, isn't it? He said, don't worry, I'll fix it. It was pouring with rain. He put a mac on, a coat, went outside and directed the traffic for me. Come on. Managing director of Alcoa. Working for this dyslexic individual that don't know nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Isn't God good? God uses people and brings people around you that can help you and strengthen you and bless you. But one thing God doesn't want you to do is keep putting yourself down. Do not look in the mirror and say, God, I don't like what I see. Stop it. You, by doing that, are insulting God. But you say, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Don't you take what you are or what you want to be from a magazine cover. their lies, they're deceitful, and most of those people on those magazine covers, their lives are in a twist. Let me tell you that now. People that you would admire today are probably really suffering internally. When I was in Armidale, I joined the Rotary because Armidale was mainly lower socioeconomic and I didn't have many business people. I wanted to know how business people think. So somebody helped me to join the Rotary. Now in the Rotary, they're all business people. I went there for an interview. You have to have an interview before they accept you. Then they said, look, we'd like you to come. It's been a long time since we've had a vicar. I said, I'm not a vicar, I'm a pastor. No, oh, we'll call you vicar. We hadn't had one for a while. They said, what we're going to do, we'll only charge you half price, and your meals, monthly meals, will only be half price. I said, forget it then. I said, what? I said, you charge me the full price, or I'm not coming. I said, don't look at me as if I'm Poverty Street. I'm a Christian. I've got a wealthy God. I ain't doing half price. So they said, okay. So when you join them, you know, they have a 20-minute talk every time they have their meal, and you're not allowed to speak on religion or politics. They're banned, okay, but you speak on... So new people have to speak, so they got me up to speak. Well, I haven't got much more to speak about than the Lord, you know what I mean? There's not much in there, you know? You're going... You know. So I start telling them a little bit about myself. And they sat and prayed. And after 20 minutes, if you keep on ringing a little bell, well, they didn't develop. So, you know, I'm a bit of a long-winded preacher. I spoke. After the meeting finished, they said to me, we want you to speak again next month. And this time, tell us your full testimony. So I told them what I told you this morning. You know, this is Rotary. And I'm thinking, these guys are going to teach me something because they're businessmen. They've got their head screwed on the right way. They've made money. They're business. They are successful. The time I was there, I took over their newsletter, and I did their newsletter for them. I put all these motivational things in it. It won. It became the top newsletter in the state, their little, the Armidale, their section in Armidale. But over that period I was with them, I discovered something. Those wealthy men, successful men, didn't have it all together. I'd have them come to me and talk with me, ask for prayer. Kids are on the rocks. Marriage is broken up. And I thought, these are wealthy, prosperous men whose lives are a mess. You know, you can look at people today and think they're better than you. Stop it. If you're born again, you've got the world at your feet. If you're born again, you are richer than a millionaire. If you're born again, you are going to a place that is totally indescribable. And it's rent-free. No mortgage in heaven. No renting. No Avon lady in heaven. Hallelujah. None of that at all. It's a wonderful place. So, I want to ask you something. Are you one of those people that feel that you're no good? And you go through life with your head hanging low because you feel no good? I want to pray for you. Really do. Really want to pray for you. Normally I'd say, close your eyes, bow your head, so nobody can see because it could be embarrassing. Forget the embarrassment. If you're hurting, you need a few witches to put hands on you now and pray for you. So if you're one of those people, and I don't know, God hasn't showed me anybody yet, or maybe one person, but if you're one of those persons that's feeling, I don't like who I am, well, why don't you say, God, just change my thinking. Help me to see myself in your eyes. Because you must see me different to what they see me. But in fact, you'd be surprised how they see you anyway. It's you that's seeing yourself wrong. Because you're listening to the lies of the devil. I want to lay hands on you and pray for you if that's you. Is there anybody here that would say, I need a prayer like that? It's maybe the most embarrassing thing you've done in front of people. But I tell you what, if you do it, something will click inside. Something will change inside. I just know this. Because you've said, God, I've heard what you said. I want to change my stinking thinking. I want to renew my mind and be the person you've called me to be. Anybody need a prayer? Just raise your hand so I can see you. Come on. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Two of you. Thank you. Okay, quite a few of you. Okay, because there's a few of you, I'm not going to be embarrassing you if I ask you to come out to the front. All of you, raise your hand. Just come and stand at the front here. Can we just move those things back? Come right at the front. Stand at the front. I just want to say a prayer. This session finishes at 12 o'clock, is that right? Okay. Now, if there's anybody else that needs to join these people, you join them. Please do. Come and join them. Just look at me at the moment. Don't close your eyes yet. You can close eyes soon. Let's form one line so I can get you all in. Okay, come closer. That's it. Good. Now, you know, what I said, I believe is a truth. I believe I've taught you the word. See, you amaze me. I would have never picked it with you. I would have thought, but it's interesting. I've done this before, and I've seen people come out that I would never have picked. You're one guy I would never have picked. But I understand where you're coming from, and God's going to do something with you today. In fact, I reckon you've got a call of God on your life to minister. I think God's put a call on your life to minister. Maybe you've thought, that's maybe a figment of my imagination. Maybe I'm just imagining this. But God's saying to you, it's not a figment of your imagination. He's speaking to you. And he's going to call you, and he's going to equip you. So you just stay close to him, and let's get rid of the thinking that putting yourself down. Or don't try and emulate anybody else. Don't try and take another man's armor. You ladies, don't try and take another person's armor. Don't do that. Don't be like David when he tried to put Saul's armor on him. It doesn't work. You don't need to be like somebody else. Be yourselves, okay? So I'm just going to come down and pray for you. And we're going to break that... It can be a stronghold that Satan's got over you in this area. I'm looking at you now. I'm looking. Don't they look handsome? Or they look, you look at them, you wouldn't think, would you? But we don't know what goes off in a person's mind and in a person's heart. I look at you and I say, you guys got it all together. But you see, the devil's such a liar and such a deceit, and bring you to a place, if he can, where he wants to just crush your spirit. But he's finished now. Amen? Where is the devil? Under your feet. It's not in your head, it's not in your back, it's under your feet where he belongs. So I'm just going to pray for you, and let's just see what God does. Okay, for my brother, Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you, Lord, that he's come through some tough times. And, Lord, he's had some incredible doubts at times. When it's been a little bit like a seesaw. It's been up and down, up and down, up and down. But deep inside, he knows you to be the truth. And Lord, I pray today that you will break this thinking that he has about himself. Help him to see the talents and the gifts that you've given to him. That Lord, he will be the man that you've called him to be. And strong in you, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You've got a lot to offer to God. I'm telling you that. Look at me. You've got a lot to offer to God. More than what you realize. So don't let the devil lie to you again. There's a lot that you've got to offer to God. There's been a bit of a seesaw, you know, up and down, and sometimes you try to pull away, but God's not letting you go. That's why you're here today, because God knows there's something in you that he really wants to pull out of you that's good, that will be a blessing to the church. Okay? Lord, I just thank you for my brother. And Lord, I pray that you'll give this young man clear thinking. Take away those doubts, Lord, that come rushing into his mind at times. Take them away in the name of Jesus. And give this young man a strength like he's never had before. Fill him with your Holy Spirit full to overflowing. And use him, Lord, for your eternal glory. Help him in those weak areas. Lord, there's some weak areas that he has. And he despises himself because of those weaknesses. Lord, you just show me that. This young man despises himself because of the weaknesses. He feels like I felt those many years ago that he's not. Sometimes he feels he's not really a Christian. And other times he knows he is. But Lord, I pray you strengthen him in those weaknesses. In the name of Jesus, give him the strength and the power to overcome all the temptations that the devil throws at him. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. Lord, I pray for my sister. I thank you for her, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in her life. Don't let the devil lie to you again. You are a beautiful person in Jesus. Do not let the devil lie to you again. again. Let this be the finish of it. Let the wonderful Word of God grow within you and the fruit of the Spirit develop within you. Because if it does, I'll guarantee that you'll be ministering to other people. I'll guarantee that you will be blessing other people. Let this be the end to the deceitful lies of Satan. Don't look at life through magazine covers. No. Look at life through that telescope of God's Word. Bring God closer to you. He wants to come close to you. He wants you to come close to Him. Do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You too have got a call on your life. I'm telling you, there's a call there. And I'm not sure whether it's a mission call to missions. There's something there that it may not be in this country that you're coming to your own, but there's something there. I believe you've got a call of God. Honor that call. Don't tell God again your wishes or you're not good enough. Don't tell Him that. Just say, God, you know how I feel. I'm dismissing that. I'm going to be the person you've called me to be. Okay? Amen. For my sister, Lord, I thank you for her. And we just come against the lies of Satan, the deceit of Satan. Lord, she is a beautiful person. She's a sweet person in you, Lord. Lord, she puts herself down so easily and so quickly. So quickly she puts herself down. And really, Lord, there's no real cause or need for that. Take her eyes off other people. Take her eyes off the peer people around her. Don't let the peer group pressure influence her life in any way. But may she be the beautiful person, girl and woman that you have called her to be. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. For the Lord would speak to you this day and He would say, my desire for you is to spoil you for this world. That this world will hold no attraction whatsoever. But you will be spoiled and your attraction will be from me, saith the Lord. That you will look to me and see the beauty that is in me, and I will cause my beauty to flow through you. You will have a new strength, a fresh strength, one that you've never known before. As this day you stand and acknowledge that I am speaking to you, saith the Lord. You acknowledge my words. Do not let this world deceive you any longer. You are the person I've called you to be. I have made you, saith the Lord. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for my brother. And Lord, you just see the doubts that flood into his mind regularly. It's almost like there's a despondency that comes upon him and wants to just tie him down. He sees other people laughing, rejoicing and praising you, and finds it hard to be part of that at times because he feels so bad about himself. But Lord, I pray that this will be the end of that today, this morning, in the name of Jesus. That you'll turn this man around. I pray that he will renew his mind in the Word of God. He'll go from this place determined to be the man you've called him to be. And the gifts that you have given to him, he'll use them for your glory. Lord, bless him, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that the devil has lied to him. He has felt, Lord, at times he could never be like he sees other people. He feels he just doesn't have what it takes. In fact, Lord, this man at times has despised the day he was born. And he's wished that he was never here. But Lord, you're telling him today through me that you brought him into this world. And that he is very special to you, Lord. And that you love him very, very much. That Lord, you're going to lift him. You are the glory and the lifter of his head. So bless him this day in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord, I just pray for my sister right now. Lord, she gets confused, Lord. She looks at what is around her and she sees a very vibrant world out there. And she gets confused of what you have to offer her. And what the church has to offer her, and what the world can offer. But Lord, I pray today that she will have clear vision for Jesus. That she will see Jesus like she's never seen him before. and she will feel His touch like she's never felt it before. And I pray, Lord, that the times that she puts herself down will stop. Lord, she is a beautiful person created by You to serve You and to bless You and to bless others. I pray, Lord, that You'll open the eyes of her understanding to see that that thinking that she's going through is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. The Lord would say to you, taste and see that the Lord is good. I only have good things in store for you. I will not tie you down. I will not shackle you down. I will not hold you up. I will not burden you. I will bless you, said the Lord. The world will burden you. The world will shackle you, but I will not. I will set you free. For you are the person that I have created. You are special to me. And I love you. And I've made you a special person with special giftings. Use them to the glory of your God. Amen. Amen. You're very shy, you're very timid, and you get frightened of people. People scare you. And stop it, because you don't have to be. You don't have to be frightened of anybody. I'm serious. Whether it be at school, at work, or whatever, you don't have to be shy. There's nothing wrong with being timid. It means you're not big-headed. I like that. You're not got pride. But sometimes timidity can go too far. And God says He's not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And that's what He wants you to have. Stop putting yourself down, okay? Don't be afraid of people. They're just people. They're nothing. You didn't know before I came here and shared my testimony what a bad background I came from. You would have thought, oh, what an educated man he is. But no, it's not. It doesn't matter where we come from. God will use us. So don't be afraid of people. Amen? Lord, I pray You remove the fear of man from this lovely young lady and set her free in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, Lord, you just see my sister. And you just see, Lord, the turmoil that she goes through as well. Lord, in a strange land, amongst strange people, there's some strange cultures. Sometimes, Lord, she doesn't know where she actually fits, where she belongs. Sometimes, Lord, she just cries herself to sleep. And Lord, You see this. You see the tears that this lady has cried that others don't see. Lord, You love her. And that's why You've spoken to her today. To draw her out to Yourself. Help her not to despise who she is or where she comes from. But help her to live a beautiful life overflowing with the joy of the Lord. May she realize, Lord, that there's much in her that You just want to dig out of her. In fact, Lord, You want it to be like a flower that's in bud, but Lord, You want it to open and to blossom. Because she's got some good things within her. And I pray, Lord, that she will change her thinking today. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. Now listen to me. You're a beautiful person. Do you hear that? I'm telling you, you're a beautiful person. That's what God is saying to you through me right now. You're a beautiful person. You don't have to hang your head in shame. You don't. You're a beautiful person. Amen? Good. Father, for my brother, thank You for him. Lord, I know that You called this man. I know there is a call of God upon him that the devil wants to do his utmost to destroy that, to take it away. But Lord, You have sort of nailed him today. You have positioned him, Lord, in a place where he can't turn from You, he can't run from You. But Lord, I pray that he will realize that You have called him. And You have gifted him And I pray that he will discipline himself to learn of you, that he will get into the telescope of your word more than he ever did before, and he will absorb your word so that the gifts that you've given to him can be used in accordance with the word of God. So, Lord, I know he's very special to you, and I know that, Father, but I pray that you'll change his thinking about himself. In the name of Jesus, I ask you. Amen. 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 Lord, for my dear sister, I thank you for her. The Lord is able to do for you exceedingly abundantly above all that you could imagine or think. No matter what you ask the Lord for, he's able to go beyond that. Because he is God. And at times, you feel a loneliness. At times, you feel alone. But God would say to you, you're not alone, for I am with you, and I will never leave you, and I will never depart from you. The Lord would say to you this day, you are the person that I have created. You are the person that I have made. You fix your eyes upon Jesus. Just look intently at him, for he will lead you and he will guide you, and all the wonderful things that God has given to you and done in you, he will bring them all to pass. Don't see yourself as lonely, saith the Lord, because I am with you. And I will bring across your pathway people who also will put and invest into your life. They will bless you, lift you up in me, saith the Lord. But know this very clearly, that I am pleased with you. You may not be pleased with yourself, but the Lord will say to you this day, I am pleased with you. I see you with a good heart. Stay close, saith the Lord. Stay close. And that loneliness will disappear. Amen. Amen. Bless my sister, Lord. Lord, this lady has been through some tough times. She's had things set against her that's not been good, not been nice. The devil has tried to drag her down. The devil has tried to pull her down, Lord. But today, she's heard your word and she's responding, Lord. She's not going to let the devil put her down anymore. She's going to be the person that you've called her to be. Lord, take away the bad feelings that she has about herself. Help her from this day never to wish that she was somebody else, but to thank you for who she is in Jesus Christ and the giftings that you have given to her. Lord, she's come through much. Lord, you brought her through. And I pray that you will just bless. I pray, Lord, for a season of abundant blessing for this lady. I pray for a season of joy. Dear Lord, and Lord, just straight from you, Lord, seeming to be no reason for it, but just from you, the joy of the Lord, which will be her strength. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, she's gone through the wars, this lady. Let me give her a hug. Let me give you a hug. You've had a rough time. God is on your side.
Amen.
Bless you. Father, I want to thank you for the good things that you've built into this life. And I am surprised, Lord, that this lady is here. Because I would never have picked it in the natural, Lord. Because I see within her an actual treasure chest filled with the Word of God. I believe, Lord, that she knows your Word. She understands your Word. And she is in a place where she can bless other people. I believe that. And minister to them. But Lord, she's just listening to the lies of the enemy. That's what she's been doing. Because the Lord would say to you this day, yes, there is a wealth of treasure within you. But the problem is, the lid is not fully open. You do have treasure. My word is birthed within you. And the Lord would say to you, you just open that treasure. Don't you close that treasure box. Because I've put my word in you to help others. To bless others, to inspire others. You can do it, saith the Lord, because I have built within you a beautiful treasure of my word. See yourself as I see you. Don't listen to what others say or what others think. Don't be taken in by the deceit of this world. But know this, you do have a treasure within you. You do. I don't know you from a bar of soap, but I'll tell you this. If I was in problems, I could come to you and you could give me the word of God. You could tell me and you could help me. I know that to be true. I don't know you, but I know that to be true because God should show me. So you've got more going for you than what you realize, okay? Use it. And then those other thoughts will go. Amen? Bless you. Bless you. Yeah. Lord, for my sister, I just thank you for her. Pray your help, Lord. Especially in these sensitive years. When she looks around her and sees so many people. So many voices. So many temptations. So many diversions. Sometimes she gets really mixed up, Lord. Sometimes she doesn't see you as clearly as you wanted to see you. But I pray that today, Lord, you'll just open her eyes spiritually to see Jesus in such a wonderful, loving, caring way. That you'll help her and strengthen her and use her for your glory. Take that thinking away that she's no good, because she is good. Lord, in you she's very beautiful. In you she's a treasure. You see her as a treasure, Lord. May she see herself as you see her. And Lord, I know no pride will come there, but humbly see herself as you see her, so that you can use her for your glory. Amen. I know you've had a bit of a rough time, and I see a lot of doubts in your mind. I see a lot of things there that you doubt what you see around you. You doubt at times the Christian principles, Christian, because it's mixed, you know, mixing with the world, you see the world. But God's saying to you, hold on to what you've got in Jesus. Hang in there. Don't give it away, because He will bring you through all this and you'll see a lot clearly. Okay, you will. I've been there. There's nothing like there. The only truth, and it's not necessarily with anything in the church. It's not the church I'm pointing you to. It's Jesus Christ. That's who I point you to. If you can get a real good look at Jesus, everything else will just pale into insignificance. Okay? Because you are good in God's sight. Amen? Does that make any sense to you? Does it? Good girl. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Now you have quite a sensitive spirit. You can be very easily upset by things that you see and things that people say. It's a very sensitive spirit that you have. So, and sometimes you wish, I wish I wasn't so sensitive. I wish I was not so sensitive. I wish I was a bit harder. That's how you thought. But God will say to you, don't think like that, because that sensitive spirit is a gift from God. It's for you to be sensitive to Him. Not to be sensitive to the rubbish that's happening around you, but to pay no heed to that, but that you will be sensitive to God, because God wants to speak to you and speak through you. He would like to give you words of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom for people, to bless them and to strengthen their lives, because you have a sensitive spirit. It's a gift of God, okay? So don't say again, I wish I didn't have it. Thank God for it. And say, God, help me, like David, I just harp in tune. You know, made my heart always be in tune with you. And you won't stop hurting by the things you see. The pain in the world hurts you. The devastation hurts you. The anger of people hurts you. You see things and it hurts you, tears you apart. That probably won't stop. But it's not a bad thing, because it will drive you to your knees. It will drive you to God. So God is saying to you, keep who you are or what you are, because you're the way God's made you. And Father, I just pray that my sister will realize, Lord, that she is not a misfit, but she's exactly who you want her to be. Use her, Lord, for your glory. Move through her. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. Move through her in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. bless you. Thank you.
Shall we stand? Father, we thank you for the word of encouragement. We thank you for the powerful testimony. We thank you for the touch through the prophetic words. We come against every lies and deception of the enemy. No more, no more. We stand upon the word of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are loved and we are treasured. Every of our faults, every of the mess that we made, Lord, is cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. We want to fulfill, Lord, the destiny for your glory. So help us renew our mind day by day. Put a shield over our mind, over our heart. We forbid the enemy to have any of those negative influence over our being. We want to be anchored upon Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We look unto Jesus, no one else. People may disappoint us. People may talk us down. But we look upon Jesus. So I pray for everyone here, Lord, to just be sensitive to your voice and to be sensitive, Lord, to what you say into their life, that we will be encouraged and edified by your words. We give you thanks, we give you praise. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. This session has ended. And we are preparing ourselves for lunch. 12:30.